Logan Aubrey. I know y'all are all excited about the calves that I said I'm going to bring. Show and tell. I like show and tell. Y'all know what I'm talking about, do you? We're going to be in Acts chapter number 7 this morning. If you want to look there. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 54 through 60. Take a few minutes this morning to talk to you about the first Christian martyr. The first Christian martyr. A martyr is someone who dies for a cause. They're willing to give their life instead of changing their beliefs or changing what they're doing. Jesus Christ was not a martyr. Jesus Christ did not just die for a good cause. He died for people. Amen. He died for others. He was not a martyr. He was a sacrifice. He was our sacrifice on the cross. And he died for our sins according to the scriptures. But there have been many martyrs, beginning with Stephen here. He is the first martyr, the first Christian martyr. Then after him, there was James in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 2. And then after him was Paul. And then after him, since that time, there have been thousands of martyrs. Riley, would you bring me that little book right there, please, beside you? Yeah, that. More show and tell. Thank you, honey. More show and tell. I'll hold this up in a minute. But there have been many thousands and thousands, millions of martyrs that have given their lives through that. If Jesus Christ was not real, what are all these people dying for? If Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, if he did not die on the cross, if he is not God manifest in the flesh, then what are all these people laying down their lives for? How come was it that Paul, who said that he saw Jesus, and that's recorded in Acts chapter number 9 for us, where Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and Paul was saved there. And then after that, Paul, he wanted to die. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with him, to be with Christ. But he said, it's more important for you that I stay here for a while. He was willing and he was glad and he actually wanted to die. He did die. He did die. He went up to heaven and came back, Acts chapter number 14. But Stephen is the first martyr to give his life for a cause, and that cause was what he preached. Acts chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 54, it says, when these heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Notice, it's the right hand, not on the left hand. He's on the right hand, so you want to make sure you're on the right. You're not on the left. If you want to know what's going to happen to those on the left, well, read Matthew chapter number 25. Those on the left, it doesn't end up well, if y'all know what I'm talking about. Verse number 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Again, he says, the right hand. You see, Jesus Christ is God's right hand man. He's the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. If you don't know who that is, he later became Paul the Apostle, but he's here. He's a young man, it says right now. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. By the way, stoning was the Jewish method of execution. The Roman method of execution was crucifixion. That's a Roman method of execution. But the Jews, whenever they killed somebody, they executed somebody, they'd stone them to death. Back in Joshua chapter number, I can't remember the chapter, I think it's maybe 10 or something like that. No, it wouldn't be 10. 6 or 7, Achan, Achan was killed for stealing what he wasn't supposed to steal, and they took Achan and his entire family out because his entire family had something to do with it. And they took the whole family out in the valley of Achor, and they stoned Stephen. See, in the Old Testament, under the law, a death penalty for certain things. Death penalty for such things as adultery, death penalty for murder. Nowadays, people can just kill people. They can kill more than one person, and they won't give them the death penalty. They put them in prison, and you got to feed them for the rest of their life. See, well, they get to watch television. You see, now the death penalty is a deterrent because that person will never get to do that again. Now, if you kill 100 people, you might get the death penalty. See, but otherwise, you may just have to go to prison. They took this man out, Stephen, outside the city of Jerusalem, and they stoned him. That is their method of execution. Verse Numbers 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus. Now, the way you call upon God is to say, Lord Jesus. That's how you can call upon God. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That is, he died right there. Fell asleep. His body is asleep. That's what happens when you die. Your body goes to sleep. They put the body in the grave. The soul does not go with the body. The soul leaves the body and goes up. It either goes to heaven or it goes down to hell. You see, a lot of people teach soul sleep, that the soul sleeps in the body with the body. But that's not so. The body, the soul leaves the body. And the soul sleeps in the grave until such time as there's a resurrection, until the resurrection of the dead, from the dead. After this right here, after this verse right here, verse number 16, listen carefully. There are no more miracles in Jerusalem by the apostles or by anybody else. Why? Because this is the final rejection by the Jews of their Messiah. Up until now, they could have been saved. But now then, they have rejected him. They rejected him before the cross. They rejected him after the cross. And they're rejecting him now after the resurrection. The final resurrection, the final rejection by the Jewish nation. And so God is saying, he's going to say here, if you don't want to be saved, okay, I will set you aside and I will go to the Gentiles, and that's what he's going to do. In chapter number 9, he's going to call out the Apostle Paul, which we're going to get to in a few weeks. He's going to call out the Apostle, and he will be the Apostle to the Gentile people, which is us, and that's how you got saved. Up until then, he's working with the Jewish people. He's working with the Jewish nation, but they reject their Savior because these religious people, they are the representatives of the nation, and they reject him. They're stoning him right here. And so God's going to set these people aside, and he set this Jewish nation aside for the last 2,000 years. Whenever Jesus comes back, they will be restored to favor with God, and they will be saved. But until then, brother, it's been nothing but Deuteronomy chapter 28, and all of these kinds of things being fulfilled in the life of the Jewish people. And it wound up with the Holocaust, with 6 million Jews being killed in Poland, in Hitler's ovens. He's the first Christian martyr. Let us pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and kindness toward us. Thank you, God, for preserving us unto this hour. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning to learn something. May it be a blessing to your people. Help us to be built up in the faith and edified. And may Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified. Father, bless our time here. May the Spirit of God please help me, I pray, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephen is one of the great men of the Bible. Oh, by the way, I've got a verse of Scripture to look at before we go any further. Turning your Bibles over to the right just a little bit. hold your place there to chapter 22 of the book of Acts, chapter 22 and verse number 20. Acts 22 and verse number 20. Here is Paul giving his testimony. Paul giving his testimony. And Paul says in verse number 20, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by," we just read about that, "and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." So there you go. It's just a little more added to what we read back. Back now to Acts chapter number 7. So Stephen is one of the great men of the Bible, even though he only shows up in two chapters except for a couple of other references. And Stephen was one of those men who was willing to give his life for what he believed. How many of us would be willing to die for what we believed about Jesus Christ? Bible does not say about Stephen about where he gets saved. I don't know where he got saved. I would say probably under the preaching of the apostles, maybe on the day of Pentecost, and maybe he was baptized on the day of Pentecost, but doesn't say that. But or possibly under the preaching of Jesus Christ, maybe, I don't know if he saw him or not. But anyway, he was in the church at Jerusalem, and he was the first of seven men to be chosen to be a deacon, although the word deacon is not used there, but that's what they turned out to be. And they were servants of the church, and they cared for the widows. And so Stephen was one of those men that were chosen. The apostles said, "Look, y'all choose out seven men full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, and we'll set them over this work here, so that we will not have to take all of our time to do this." He's talking about the care of the widows. He's talking about waiting tables. He's talking about being servants of the church. The very first man that they chose was a man by the name of Stephen. After Stephen was chosen for that, he said, "I'll take the work." Stephen began to preach immediately. I don't know what got into him. I don't know what got into him about preaching there, but he began to preach, and he preached to the lost people, the lost unsaved Jews. You know who meets in synagogues? Unsaved Jews meet in synagogues. Saved people meet in churches. But see, you'll read throughout the book of Acts, you'll read where Paul, as he's going from town to town, and he will go to a town, and the first thing that he does, and people will use this to say, "See there, Paul went in there on Saturday and worshiped with those people, so that means you're supposed to keep the Sabbath." Well, look, Paul went in there on the Sabbath day, all right, and he went in there and talked to those Jews. Why? Because they're unsaved. These Jews are unsaved. They still believe they're supposed to keep the law, and they meet on Saturday. Unsaved people meet in the synagogue or wherever on Saturday. There is no command in the Bible for a Christian to keep the Sabbath. It is given to the Jewish nation. Paul would go there and preach to them. He began to preach immediately. He preached to the lost, unsaved Jews in the synagogue. He preached that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Here are some things that are said about Stephen. Man, if any of these things were said about us, that'd be good. That would be good. Chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says about Stephen that he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be full of these things. A lot of people are full of things, but they may not be these things right here. They're full of stuff, all right. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Full of faith. Man, if you want to be full of faith, get full of the Bible. Get full of the words of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you'll be full of faith. And whenever you open your mouth, it'll come out. He was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 6, verse 8, he was full of faith and of power. Chapter 6 and verse number 8, again, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. This is Stephen. Stephen, the first deacon. To the unbelieving Jews, he preached to them. And the Bible says that they disputed with him. When he spake, they came and they argued with him. I'm giving you some things that is said about Stephen. Chapter 6 and verse number 10, they could not stand up to Stephen's preaching. The Bible says there that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Man, whenever Stephen began to preach, it just made them mad. And we're going to read here in a minute, they gnashed on him with their teeth. In chapter number 7, listen to this. Stephen was able to give the entire convinced history of Israel from memory. And by the way, Stephen only had an Old Testament. He didn't have a New Testament. He didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have any of that. But he was able from memory. He got up and he preached to these people. Chapter 7, verse 2 through 50 is that. And then whenever he got down to the bottom, to the end of his sermon, he applied the things that he said to the Jews. Look in your Bible there, chapter 7 and verse number 51. And I told you, I'll tell you this one more time, that this kind of preaching, I've got myself a note in here, this kind of preaching will get you killed. Verse number 51 of Acts chapter 7, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." So that's what he said about those Jews. He applied it to those things. These Jews were so convicted that they were cut to the heart, it says in verse number 54. They were convicted of their unbelief. They hated him so bad. They hated what he said. Look in verse 54. "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." I don't know if they came and actually got a bite out of his arm, but you know, gnash, if you look that up, to gnash on somebody, that means to grind your teeth. Grind your teeth all the time. You ever got so mad you grind your teeth? Or you ever had anybody get so mad at you they grind their teeth? I used to know a guy that, I knew a preacher, and he would grind his teeth. He did it so much he had to go to the dentist and get some work on it, you know. Just calm down, and no need in grinding your teeth. Not good for you. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but they attacked him later. Chapter 7, verse 57 through 59, they stoned him. They stoned him. Verse 57 says, "And when they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen." Verse number 59. Look, folks, there's a lot of things that I don't think are right. There's a lot of things we don't believe. As Christians, we believe certain things, but we don't believe in killing people. If somebody doesn't believe what you believe and what I believe, we don't believe in killing. Muslims do that. Muslims do that. And believe it or not, the Catholics have done that. They have done that. All you got to do, you read all about it. Here's a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs right here, right there. I can turn over here to a page that's got a picture of a man by the name of, let me see, what is his name? William Tyndale. William Tyndale was burned alive. How'd you like to be burned alive? That's for what you believe. William Tyndale in the year 1536 was burned alive. He was a Christian. He was a preacher. And he was a scholar. And he was burned alive for translating the Bible into English, you see. You know who the big perpetrator of all this stuff was? It was the Pope. It was the Pope. Believe it or not, it was the Pope. They can't do that nowadays. You see, they can't do that. But they called people that believe like you believe and like I believe, you're a heretic. And they believe that heretics ought to be put to death. And they would burn people alive. They would tie them up and they called them faggots. Faggots. They put sticks all around them, and light them on fire and burn them up, and people would stand there and watch them watch them burn, you see. There's a lot of them in here. I could read page after page after page. William Tyndale here, and he prayed as he was dying. He said, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And God did that, you see. And so Stephen was stoned for what he believed, what he believed by religious people. Over there in Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and all that kind of stuff, if you leave the religion of Islam, they'll put a death contract out on you. They will kill you for that. Religious people. Now, we believe that you ought to believe certain things, that you are saved by believing something. You are saved by believing on Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that are bad, a lot of things that are wrong. But you see, we don't kill people for those kinds of things. We don't advocate. I don't believe in homosexuality. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I don't believe all that other stuff. You know, all that kind of stuff. But we're not going to kill people or advocate that anybody kills anybody or is even evil or vile to people that does those kinds of things. God will take care of that kinds of things. Our business, our fighting is not done with sticks and stones. Our fighting and our battling is not done with guns and weapons like that, unless you got a snake. Now, if you got a snake or something like that, get your gun out, you know, or whatever, or your shovel or your hoe or something like that. Now, I was telling the folks Wednesday night about killing a skunk. Some of y'all didn't get in on that. The next day, folks, listen, I got another story for you. The next day, I was stringing wire on an electric fence. Believe it or not, I had my wife driving the pickup. I've got my electric fence on a rod on the back of my pickup, and I pulled the electric fence off, the wire off, and put it up. And I was walking along there. My wife was in the pickup. She couldn't hear me. She couldn't understand what I was saying. She stopped up there. And I was walking along, and I wear boots. I wear boots. And I was walking along, and sure enough, I saw it was a snake. It was a rattlesnake. I hollered at my wife, snake, snake. She couldn't hear me. She couldn't understand why. She waited around a little bit, and she finally got out. I said, it's too late, too late. That snake, he went, bam, down a hole. He went down a hole. I mean, I could have got him. I could have got him, but you know, I almost stepped on him. And my point is this. If you get a snake, get your gun out. You don't need to pray about that. You won't need to pray about it. Just go ahead and kill him. Or a skunk. You don't need to pray about them. What I was saying is this. Our method of fighting is not with sticks and stones and rocks and weapons. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our method of doing battle is by praying, by preaching, by speaking, by giving people the Bible. That's how you're supposed to fight. That's how you're supposed to war. That's how you make war as a Christian. You don't go knock somebody in the head. You can't force anybody to be a Christian. They can't be a Christian. You know, people can, they can say, just say Allah is great or something like that. You know, if people's heart is not in it, it means nothing. Amen. It's in the heart. It's got to be in the heart, see. So we don't do those kinds of things. Stoning somebody is not going to help anything. You fight upon your knees. You pray for them. You preach to them. You talk to them. You witness to them. You show them the Bible. You show them the truth. The truth is your weapon. The truth is your weapon. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, I believe it is. Thy word is truth. You show them that. You show them the truth. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, you see. A man by the name of Saul is standing there. He's holding their clothes. They take off some of their outer garments so they can throw rocks better. And he's holding their clothes, and the Bible says he's giving assent to what they're doing. He's saying, that's good, Saul. That's this man who's going to be saved in a few days or a couple of years there. and he becomes later Paul the Apostle. He's standing there, and he sees all of this. He sees this man, Stephen. He hears what Stephen preaches, and then he says, this man deserves to be stoned. And he watched them as they drag him out of the city of Jerusalem, and they stone him with stones, and he's standing there. And brother, whatever he saw, it made an impact upon him, and he was saved a little bit later on whenever Jesus appeared to him in Acts chapter number 9. Jesus appeared to him, said, anyway, we'll get to it later. By the way, the Bible says here about Saul, it says that he's a young man. Verse number 58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their feet at a young, laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. He's a young man. How old is he? I don't know how old he is. I'm going to guess that he's possibly the same age as Jesus. Do you realize this? He came, he's Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, that means he's from Tarsus. You look up on your map, where's Tarsus? But anyway, he's Saul of Tarsus. He came from Tarsus to study in Jerusalem, study the law under a man's feet, at a man's feet by the name of Gamaliel. He came to study there in Jerusalem. He might have crossed paths. I don't know that. I'm just guessing. It is possible that he could have crossed paths with Jesus Christ while he was there. A young man. Here's Jesus. He dies on the cross when he's 33 years old. I mean, he's a young man. Here's Saul. They might have crossed paths somewhere. I don't know. I'm just surmising there. Listen, there's a lot of things I could go on here. But Stephen looked up into heaven and he saw the heavens opened. He saw the heavens open. The Bible says there in verse number 55, and he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Y'all know this, don't you? Don't y'all know in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8? No, it's verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says that Jesus, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Y'all know that, don't you? Amen. Jesus is supposed to be sitting down. Well, what's he doing standing up there? What's he doing standing up there? He saw heaven open and Jesus, Son of Man, standing. Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ in a man's body, in a glorified man's body. That's the last time that phrase is used in the Bible. Son of Man. Son of Man. Last time. Last time. Jesus is standing there. Verse number 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man, the Son of Man. You know what? One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's coming back as Son of Man and Son of God. Amen. God and man. Brother, he's coming back on a white horse. He's going to ride down through the skies. He's going to set up a throne on the earth. Son of God, Son of Man. There are two kingdoms in the Bible. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. A spiritual kingdom, that's the kingdom of God. An earthly kingdom, that's the kingdom of heaven. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the kingdom of heaven is heaven itself. It's a earthly kingdom on the earth that is ruled by heaven. Heaven's rules, kingdom of heaven. It is not heaven. All you got to do is look up the word kingdom of heaven and you'll see it talking about things on the earth. Two kingdoms. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. A spiritual kingdom, an earthly kingdom. He will come back. He wears both of those crowns. There are many crowns upon his head. He will come back and he will rule over the earth. We will be in the kingdom of God. There'll be other people in the kingdom on the earth. Fleshly bodies. Fleshly bodies. Y'all see that? There are going to be people in glorified bodies, that's you. And there's going to be people in fleshly bodies on the earth there. He's going to be king over both of them. Both of them. Amen. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. Right here. This is the last time he used the phrase Son of God. I've got to go on here. Let me go on down here. Stephen, the first martyr. He is ready. I'm going to give you some things that Stephen is ready to do. As the first martyr, he is ready. Number one, Stephen was ready to serve. He was ready to serve. They chose Stephen as the first deacon, and he took the job. He was one of the seven, and he became a servant of the church, the first deacon, first one on the list. Stephen said, I'll take the job and I'll do the work. Stephen became a servant of the church. It's in the Bible, it's a good thing to become a servant. If you serve people, then you serve God. You serve God. It's written about Job. We're studying about Job in Sunday school. And God said to the devil, he said this, Has thou considered my servant Job? My servant Job. Whenever Moses was dead in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 2, God said to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. My servant. Great men in the Bible were servants and they served, and in so doing, they served God. We ought to all be servants. We ought to be willing to serve. We're not above doing things, you see. None of us are above being servants. None of us are above serving in the church. None of us are above cleaning the toilets. None of us are above cleaning the floor. None of us are above doing those kind of things. But Stephen was ready to be a servant. Number two, Stephen was ready to preach. Immediately, Stephen began to preach, and he gave the entire history of Israel immediately from memory. And so he was ready to preach, and he preached that Jesus is the Son of God. So Stephen became a witness. He became a witness, as we are all supposed to do. You know what? You don't have to be a pastor standing behind a pulpit in order to preach. You can preach anywhere. You can talk to people. The Bible tells us this. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, it says this. It says, But sanctify the Lord God always in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within, that is in you. The Bible tells us that we're all always supposed to be ready to give an answer whenever the opportunity presents itself to give an answer. A lot of times people think, well, I'll just live a good life. You're supposed to live a good life, but you're supposed to speak too. You're supposed to talk to people. You're supposed to present the gospel to people. It's not hard. It's not hard. I don't have a track here with me, but you can take a little track. And on the front of that track, it says, God's simple plan of salvation. And you can hold it up to a person and say, look here, I don't know anything about you, but the Bible, but it's, this little track here says, God's simple plan of salvation. And it tells you how a person can know that they're going to heaven when they die according to the Bible. That's an easy way to get started. Why are people scared? You don't need to be scared about that. Look, anybody that you talk to, 95% of the time, you're going to know more than they know. Do you know that? You're going to know more than they know, you see. I'm sorry that people are ignorant out there, most of them, about the Bible. They don't know very much. You'd think they'd know a lot about the Bible since there's so many Bibles out there, see. There's so many Bibles out there. But all you got to do is talk to people. Stephen was ready to preach. He was ready to witness. And that's what got him killed. So he's ready to serve. And number two, he's ready to preach. Number three, he's ready to pray. He's ready to pray whenever he was dying. Whenever he was dying, in verse number 60, the Bible says, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Stephen was ready to pray, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. We ought to always be ready to pray. Be ready to pray. I heard about this preacher one time. He's going across a railroad track. Y'all would know him if I mentioned his name. He's going across a railroad track, and a train was coming, and he didn't see that train. And that train came and it crashed right into him. And as that train was crashing, he said, God, save me. and he did. I'm not talking about soul salvation. I'm talking about saving his life, you know, sparing his life. You see, you can call out to God real fast if you have to. If you have to. You can cry out to God. I heard about another preacher. He's going across a bridge, and the bridge was only big enough for one car. And as he and somehow they got two cars on there, and he said he went across that bridge on two wheels like this, and that other car was over there like that. And he had no idea how they got across that. But he said, God help me. God help me just like that. And God helped him, and they both cars got across the bridge without crashing. So you can pray and you can call out to God. I don't know that God requires that you be on your knees to pray. Do you? Do you know if does God require that you have be on your knees and your hands folded? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. They do it all the time. But you don't have to be. Stephen was ready to pray. He was ready to serve when the opportunity presented itself. He didn't run off, see. He didn't run off and leave it for somebody else. He said, I'll take the job. I'll do the work. He's ready to preach when the opportunity presented itself. He was able to get up and preach the entire history of Israel from memory. And then number three, he's ready to pray whenever he needed to pray. Be ready to pray all the time. Don't make it like I've been this way many times. I got to get right with God before I can pray. Before I can even utter a prayer, I've got to talk to God about some things here, see, before I can utter a prayer. You know what else he was ready to do? He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. You know what he said to God? He said, God, these people are stoning him. They're killing him. And Stephen said this. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Could you do that? If somebody's killing you and they're stoning you and knocking you in the head with big rocks, could you say, God, forgive these people? That's what Jesus did on the cross, wasn't it? Didn't Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Here's Stephen, they're stoning him, and he says, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. Wow, man, now that's quite a guy right there. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You know what the last thing he's ready to do? He's ready to die. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to die? I know you're ready to die, but how about today? Are you ready to die today? Stephen, the last phrase of verse number 60, he says this, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was ready to preach, to pray, to die. He was ready to serve, and he was ready to forgive in his last hours. Whenever Stephen got up that morning, maybe he talked to his wife. He said, I'll be home for dinner. I'll be home for lunch. He didn't know he wasn't going to make it home for dinner. He didn't know he wasn't going to come home for supper or whatever. He didn't know that. He didn't make it home. That was the last day of his life, and nobody told him about it ahead of time. He didn't get any warning. Most of the time you don't. Most of the time you don't. You may not get a warning, see. Be ready. He was ready for all of those kinds of things in his last hours. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words this morning. Pray it be a blessing to your people. Help us, Father, to be ready always to give an answer to those who see the hope that is within us. And Father, we pray to you to help us to be somewhat, as best we can, like Stephen. Like Stephen, Lord, what a man he was, filled with the Holy Ghost in power, filled with all the good things of God. We ask your blessing upon your people now, today, this morning. God, if anybody's not saved, we pray they'll come this morning and go home with eternal life.